Thanks for checking out the Candeo podcast. To learn more about us, visit us at candeochurch.com.
Howdy, y'all. Doing well? Yeah. Hey. Stop. Okay. No, it is. It's good to be back, man. It's fun. We're in Missouri, and it is the South. I didn't know that when we moved there, but we're quickly adapting. It's been fun learning to drink some sweet tea and cheer on the Mizzou Tigers. And so, man, for those that don't know me, there's a lot of new faces. I get that. I was actually on staff helping start this church 3 years ago. My name's Stan Hayek. And so, it's been incredible. We got sent to Columbia, Missouri. University of Missouri is there. 116,000 people roughly in the city, and so to start a church, and it was myself, my wife, our girls, and a number of other kind of community people and some staff to help start things, and so it's been incredible. I just want to share on the front end, a lot of people are asking, the number one question I get when I come back is, how's it going? And so just want to share with you guys a little bit before we dive in. I got a pictures, I brought some. Here's our staff. You guys remember Christina back there in Austin. They were part of our staff here on the college side of things. They're doing so well. Rachel Wise is helping us coordinate and keeping things structured. And then the guy you don't know there maybe is Luke. He's our college pastor. Incredibly talented guy. He's a great teacher, but also helps lead worship. And it's just been fun. So this summer, we really wanted to kind of just talk through what are we going to be about, you know, as a church. What are we going to focus on in creating structure? And so this was one of those kind of staff day away kind of deal. We went to St. Louis for a conference and were able to just kind of work through some things. So it's been awesome. Like I said, getting our family to adjust when we got there. I think I spent my first month's salary on fireworks. They're legal there. And it was fun. So here's my two oldest girls and then like the neighbor girl. Fireworks are legal. I don't know if it's legal for children to shoot them off, but they did. Only one time did somebody get burnt. So much fun. This was like our 4th of July party. So we just did some things to get to know some people. We were going to start at the end of August, but it's like, how do you meet people? But it was just this weird balance because like you meet them, they're like, sweet, I want to come to your church. And you're like, 2 months from now, can't wait to have you. And so what do you do? And so, but we did some things at the same party. We had a little fun with some tiki torch fuel, citronella. Was Darren, my college pastor, you got the video of this? I don't think we got sound, but you get the idea. Go ahead and play it. Oh, there it is. Oh yeah, you see that? Yeah, that's dangerous. Don't do that. Can you play it again and then we'll pause it like halfway through so I can you go ahead and can you play it again? Maybe. It's worth saying again. There it is. Yes. So this is Luke. Okay, can you pause it there? Okay, yeah. He still has all of his facial hair. But I wanted to direct your attention to this camper right back here. Went in Missouri, okay? Austin and Lauren were trying to buy a house, not having much success. And so they just pulled their camper and lived in my yard for all summer. In fact, like you see like their little patio and they had it all set up. And Missouri for sure. And so it was good. We kicked off at the end of August, August 28th, and 2 days after our kickoff, little baby Janessa was born. I think, did we get a picture of that? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we make cute babies. I'll tell you that. So she's daughter number 4. It was incredible. My wife is such a trooper. In fact, I'm getting a picture from Luke. He's leading worship this morning for us, and he's sending me a picture of my wife on worship team with Janessa like strapped to her. At practice, and I don't know where the other 3 girls are at, but one's accounted for, and so it's been all hands on deck, and how it's been going, it's been awesome. We started our first service, you know, was a little inflated with people coming in, and we had about 185 adults. I would say there's probably about 150 people that would call Anthem home, just over 100 of those showing up every week for church, but we measure success at Anthem through our people getting connected. It's one thing to have a bunch of people come, that's great, but our people getting connected, and how we do that is connection groups, and We feel if people are connected and opening God's word together and dialoguing, that's a win. And so we want to see 80% of that attendance in connection groups. And I'm pleased to tell you that 80% plus are in connection groups on a weekly basis, both on the college side and the community. People are getting connected, and from that, we're seeing baptisms. Last month, we baptized 5 people in our church, and we are thrilled to see people taking that step of obedience. There's a lot of stories, local guys getting raised up, but one of the stories I'll direct your attention to is Jesse and Megan. So this is a young couple. They're dating. I was meeting at a coffee shop with another guy and his fiance, and just talking about the church, what we were going to be about. We were launching in a month, and here is Megan studying for some test 2 tables away, and I got up to leave, and she said, "Excuse me, I heard you talking about church. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?" Okay, that doesn't happen all the time, but so she asked me, so stopped and to talk to her, and through that learned just kind of about her past and the brokenness, and God, I believe, was getting them to a spot the night before they were having a conversation, her and her boyfriend Jesse, just about we need to take our faith a little more serious and we need to try and get some answers. And so was able to just lay out the gospel for Megan, share that. Her and Jesse have since gotten in a connection group with Joel and Rachel Wise. You know, Jesse works for one of the universities in town, and so it's just been awesome. He actually just started playing on our worship team this past week, and what God is doing in the life of this couple, it's just one couple that God is really shaping, the college students, the other people in the community that are getting involved in. And Anthem didn't exist just a few months ago, and to now see these stories being formed, like genuinely grateful that this church would, in its infancy of itself, in faith, send us out to be a part of that. And so it has just been awesome. We're so thankful for the opportunity. And honestly, where my heart's at, just trying to enjoy this season, right? Janessa, she's maybe 9-10 weeks old. And as much as like, as much fun as changing diapers is and waking up in the middle of the night, like, right, I look forward to a day when we can like play catch together or do some things like talk, interact. But I don't want to just rush the baby season and not take it in as a dad. And I feel like that's the same thing with the church. It's like, it's especially when you see this place filled up 2 services and it's only 3 years old and all that God has on the horizon, potential building, like part of my heart's like, oh, I so want that day for Anthem Church. But try to, in this moment, just delight in the stories and the lives that are being changed. And so it really is well. We are in our infancy, but it really is going well. And so thank you genuinely for your prayers, seeing God sovereignly go before us in those ways, and your support. And so, thankful. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. We're taking a break from your study you guys have been doing in Exodus, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. And this is where we're at in the life of Anthem Church. Taught this a couple weeks ago. Felt that it was really valuable for our young church, and hope that Candeo, being a young church, 3 years old, that the message would be extremely practical for y'all as well. And so we're going to look at Ephesians 4, verses kind of 1 through 16. And a little bit of context. Again, you guys aren't studying Ephesians, so we have been, this is written to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a city kind of in Asia on the coast. It was prolific just in terms of trade, a lot going on there. And Paul goes there as a missionary, gets to share the gospel, see people come to know Jesus. And it's funny because these weren't naturally Jewish people by birth. They were Gentiles, just not Jews. They were other people. And it was beyond the Jews at the time. They're thinking, wow, we didn't know that the good news was going to go beyond us. And sure enough, it went to these people in Ephesus. And you think Asia, kind of the dark sorcery and arts that went around it, the stereotype is very true. In fact, when they came to know Jesus and love him and follow him, they all got their sorcery books together, like these secret books that they'd been kind of working out of. They brought them together and put them in a pile, and burned them. And when they calculate the value of the books they burned, it was in the millions of dollars, right? So these Christians really sold out, and they're saying, enough, we're not going to have a little bit of this God, a little bit of that. We're just going to follow the one true God. And so here these Gentiles were, and they burned all these books, and they're set on following Jesus. And so the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul is just reminding them, you're children of God, you're believers, you're Christians, oh, we're so excited, you're part of the family, you've been adopted. And now in chapter 4, he's gonna turn a corner. His language is going to begin to shift, and he's going to say, now this is what you're to do. This is who you are. Now we're going to talk about this is what you're to do. Is that my mic? Facial hair. Should have trimmed it a little bit. This is what you're supposed to do. So chapter 4, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to be reading out of the ESV. That's what we use there. So if you would read with me. He says, I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all, and in all. Okay? We're going to time out there. So looking at these first six verses, Paul says, I, therefore, a prisoner. So he's making reference to his chains. Paul was writing this letter, most scholars would agree, from a prison cell in Rome. He'd been chained up and taken to Rome to testify to the Roman government and the powers that be about this message that he was proclaiming. And seemingly, he is not dissuaded at all. And I don't know if they like took the chains off so he could write or what that looked like, but as a prisoner, he's saying, I urge you to do these things, right? Urging someone, there's a weight that is had to that language. I used to have this 4-H heifer, right? I'm a hick, so Missouri's perfect for me. But this 4-H heifer, that she would kick anybody or anything that would come close to her, right? And you just... Lord love them, like these city slickers, like, oh, can I pet your cow? You know, like, I urge you, like, please do not do that. It will not go well for you. It wasn't like a suggestion, but like, no, don't do. There's an urgency to it. And he's saying, church, I just reminded you your identity. I am urging you. I am begging with you. I am pleading you. What? What's he saying? That you would walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Well, what are you talking about? What walk in what way? He says, with all humility, gentleness, you're going to say patience, love, peace, unity. And he says to walk in these things. It's going to be an active process, what Paul is saying. This fight for unity, it's going to take some level of effort. And that's what he's pushing them to. He's saying, Gentiles, Jews, everybody, God has bought you back, that Jesus is your Savior. And so amongst the church, and I believe as he's in his chains, he's like, we have to be unified. Things are going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. It's not always going to well. We need to be unified. And he's reminding them that unity takes effort. Those of you that are married, right? You know that to be unified with your spouse it's going to take date nights. It's going to conversation, details, going over finances. Unity takes effort. If that's news to you and you're married, please see one of the pastors after the service, right? That shouldn't be. I'm getting ready to officiate a wedding in a couple weeks and going to meet with this couple after service and tell them that saying I do on your wedding day, that's important. Don't get me wrong. And that's a good first step. But to love your spouse, it's going to be a continual process. And what he's saying is, yeah, God has done a great work in you. That's awesome. Unity. You have to continue to cultivate that, to walk in these ways. And so it's going to be a process of fighting for that. And the reality is, yeah, The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And so how absurd would it be to not be unified? Right? Jesus would say in his prayer, we should pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. In 1 John, he would say, we can love because God first loved us. See, Jesus, God, was and is all these things. He was patient with us. He displayed humility. What are some of the other ones? There's a gentleness. There's a love. There's a peace. God has first done that with us. And so what he's saying, church, is we should be that amongst each other, unified. But he's going to go on. So if you're taking notes, point one, the church should be unified. We're all in this together. So given that we're all on the same page, now what? He goes on in verse 7 to say, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high and led a host of captives, he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Time out. And some of you guys are like, this is why I don't want to read my Bible. That is confusing, right? You're like, ascended, descended, who, what? Okay, so here's what you got to understand, context. He's quoting Psalm 66:18. Psalm 66:18 says this, you ascended on high, leading a host of captives in your train and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that the Lord God may dwell there. Okay, time out. What Paul is calling upon is this illustration. What would happen is kings would go off to war and they'd go against these countries and kings. And what would happen is if they won and they conquered them, they would have captives, these people. Moreover, all the troops would go into this city or town or region and they would just pillage and be able to take all these things. And so they'd be coming back with all this gold and silver and livestock. And what would happen is that the king comes back to his hometown and there'd be sort of like this reverse parade that goes on. And all these people that had experienced victory would see the king coming with just a whole train of captives. And they'd be like, yeah, and what they would do is they would be giving gifts back to the king, likely from the overflow of those spoils. And they're like, awesome, you're a king, bless you. But notice how Paul takes that scripture and he flips it and he's saying, here's how it is with the Lord, that he comes to earth, defeats Satan, defeats death, and it's he who is giving out gifts to men. Did you catch that? That Jesus has come and defeated Satan. And now the God that we have in his mercy and grace not only wins the battle, wins the war, but then in turn says, and here's a gift for you, and a gift for you. And he goes on to say, what are those gifts? In verse 11, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers. This isn't an exhaustive list. I think there's other places we're going to say some have given the gift of mercy and giving and wisdom and counsel and worship. And he goes on to say in verse 12 that those gifts do what? They are to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. If you're taking notes, church is to be unified and the church puts Christ on display. Let me explain what I mean. That because of what Jesus has done, we can forgive each other. We should be able to love each other. We should be patient with each other because God has done all those things to us, right? But he's saying, now that you're that, in addition, you've been given gifts. Each of us in here that have been given kind of these spiritual gifts. And he said, God has done that so that we can build up the body. And that's the role of the gifts, not to be used individually, but for the building up the body. And here's the concept. No one is fully Jesus. Jesus was able to be a great teacher. He was able to be all these things, right? But no one is fully Jesus. Man, I'm seeing this in the life of our church at Anthem. Joel Wise, some of you guys know Joel. He is like super good, righteous, zealous kind of person. When it comes to mercy, I love Joel. He is not very merciful, right? It's like, I don't know, what's your problem? You know, pick it up. Okay, he's not good at that. We got this other gal, Sierra, super merciful, right? That she is gracious. In fact, she'll borrow my truck the other tomorrow to go and get some beds for this couple that needs, and she's like on it and taking care of it. Now, is she really great with speaking truth? Perhaps not so much. Might she, in her desire to be merciful and gracious, ultimately just enable people to? I don't know, but here's the thing. I know if you can put Joel and Sierra together, now we're winning. You know, you got this balance of a truth speaker and grace. And so what he's saying is in your unity, when you guys all come together, you can really represent all of who Jesus is. Does that make sense? That you as an individual, you can really maybe capture a part of who Jesus is. But we need all the parts working together to really put on the fullness of display of who Jesus is. And so you're going to see that illustration of the body used elsewhere, earlier on in Ephesians and Corinthians. All these different gifts, all these different parts working together. And so we have to be unified, and we're equipped, and we're going to build up the body. And I, from Missouri, I got this illustration out of the coffee bar like not too long ago, so you're going to have to bear with me. This was under the sink catching water. This was in the sink and cleaned it off. But here's the illustration, is that God, in his mercy, love, and grace, has poured out like these gifts to us. And the reality is it's not meant for us to just be filled up. Like, oh, wow, I'm glad I really know how to manage finances. Now I'm not helping anybody else. Or I'm glad I'm really good at real estate. I don't know how that could be used for the church or construction or all these things. And so sometimes these gifts never make it outside of us. But when he says in context, what are they to be used for? We've all been equipped to build up the body. So as God is poured out, and I'm going to try and not make a mess all over Jake's stage, but as God pours out this to us, there should be this overflow. Oh, it gets better though. Hold on here, right? Because that's not fully what he's saying in this text. He's saying it's not enough for you to simply overflow. What he's saying is all these gifts unified, brought together, right? There's all these different gifts that God has given this church, this group of people. He's saying these gifts have to come together. And then as God, now I'm not going to do this because it'll really make a mess, but you get the idea, right? This, as all these things get filled up together in overflow, man, that more fully puts Christ on display. When this church uses all parts of the body, not just hands, but feet, eyes, ears, all that stuff. Does that make sense? And so he's saying you have to be unified. You have to be unified in using every gifts, because the other thing is when we all do these things together, we all grow, we all get better. It is great that Joel Wise hangs out with Sierra and learns what it looks like to be merciful. In doing so, Joel is going to become more like Jesus. And so the body grows when it's together. Here's what's not helpful. When one of the parts of your body just kind of rebels. You ever had that? Like when you're watching, you know, some TV and you lay kind of funny on your leg and you get up to get some more chips and dip and like your leg's just like, no, and just rebels. And you're like, you're trying, you're like picking it up and trying to move. Okay, a part of the body rebelling and just crossing his arms like, no, I don't want to build up the body. That's one thing. A part that just leaves the body altogether, that's an entirely different, that is not helpful. Imagine like your leg rebelling against you, that's one thing. Imagine if it's like, I'm out, and just leaves. And I believe in the church what we've done, and it's hard. I challenge Anthem, I'm like, some of you will have a decision to make. We're a young church. We don't have an outlet for every person's gifts. We don't have, you might really like ministering to junior high and high school students. We don't have a junior high and high school ministry now that we're 9 weeks old, right? And so in the absence of that, this is a real life thing. I'm seeing some of the people like, well, I'm just going to go start something outside the church. Now, here's the thing. It's really hard for me when they say, oh, I really love the church. I love the church. I want to build up the church. I'm just gonna go over here. Does that make sense? Can you imagine a part of your body like, oh, I love the body. I'm just not going to be a part of it. It seems to conflict. And the thing I've challenged in Anthem in Missouri is saying, man, I know in the short term, you could perhaps find a quicker outlet for your gift moving outside the body. The body sometimes moves slow. And I'll be the first to own it, saying, especially the leadership, we're prone to want to look for other mouths or other, you know, things that are like us. And so gifts such as perhaps mercy and loving the least of these are some of the slowest to come around. In fact, in all transparency, Cornerstone, the church that helped start this one, I think they're 23 years old. And I would say it's only within the last couple years, and I don't think this is acceptable, don't get me wrong, but this is what's happened. It's only in the last couple years that Cornerstone, a church of nearly 3,000 people, is able to really have an influence on the community, loving the school system there, reaching out. I think they'd be the first to say, man, we've been slow to that. Kingdale, I think we're doing better here, being 3 years in, but it's a process. When you look at this and you understand, I believe, clearly from this text, those gifts that God has given you, it's not just about you being filled up. It's not just about you kind of overflowing and using them, but it's to be used within the context of the body to build it up. If you believe that, I'd beg you to be committed to that. And again, there might be other ways, but don't short-circuit God's plan. If we want to put Christ on display, it's not going to be through individual efforts. It's going to be through the whole body working together. I mean, even in this context, guys, I'm grateful for a service like this. It takes artists playing an instrument. I don't even know what that is that the gal's playing over here. A ukulele or something. Like, takes artists. It takes tech guys to do this stuff. I don't know who did this, but it's way cooler than what we have, right? And I assure you that whoever did that can't do that. And who's doing that likely can't do this. And who is doing this doesn't want to be doing this. The body coming together, those are just four gifts. Man, there's so much. What happens outside of these walls is way beyond what happens inside them for an hour and a half on a Sunday. Do you understand that? Are you getting the vision that God has given you gift? That's a promise in Scripture. And you have a role to play. Some of you are like, that's the first time I heard that. I got a gift? Merry Christmas. Like, I didn't give it to you, but if I'm the first one to tell you, like, you're welcome on behalf of the Lord. Like, he's given you that because, oh, I think it's to our joy to be a part of God's plan. It's to our joy to find our role within the body and to play that. Now here, practically, I just want to tell you, it might take a little bit of effort to find your gift. So I did track in high school. Primarily to stay in shape for football, but doing track, man, okay, so Mr. Dobb was our coach. He just, this jet black hair, epic like black mustache, and the clipboard just attached to his like forearm, right? And Mr. Dobb, my first year, he looks at me, he's like, okay, you're gonna run a 400. Anybody run a 400? Like, that is, okay, yeah. So, first time out for track, my first meet was an indoor meet at UNI, and it's a 200-meter track, okay? That first 200 meters, I was smoking. The second 200 meters, like you've heard the phrase, like hit a wall. I really felt like somebody put a wall on the track, and I hit it, and like just like almost crawling. In fact, if I was going any slower, I think I would have been going backwards. And so I get done with that race, and it's like, okay, that is not your race, right? Let's find something else for you. So then Mr. Dobb's like, maybe 200 meters. Still not fast, right? So all these people blow by me, and you know you're like not in the right race when they're like all the shot put throwers and it's you, and you're like, I think I'm in the big man 200 here. Like this is I'm not in the right race. And so Mr. Dobbs like, okay, you're gonna do the high jump. That wasn't any better. Like, if you got points for crashing into the bar, I would have helped our team. But to clear it, I mean, there's guys foot and a half shorter than me just whoop, springing over it. It's like, okay, that's not his race. How about the mile? No, right? Like, if I can't run 400 meters, I can't run 1600. But the race that ended up kind of being a good fit was the 110 high hurdles, right? There was something about it was the right amount of distance, and the fact that you had to jump over things helped me, like, stay with the other people. And I wasn't like, don't let me mislead you. Like, I wasn't really good, but enough to actually go and get some medals at some of these meets and earn some points for our team. And it was actually enjoyable to compete in a race that was more tailored to who I was. And I say all that to say, some of you guys may have to try a few things before you actually find your sweet spot. I say, don't give up. Do you have the gift of teaching? I don't know. Have you taught? Do you know that if God may have gifted you in serving, in generosity, in these ways? I don't know, but you're not going to, my guess is, begin to explore this gift until you've tried a few things. I don't know how God's wired you. I wish I had a 6-step process where you say, okay, and then you just take a little gifts. I think it's going to be a lot of fun in connection groups to work out this week. But I would want to invite you in and say, enter into that process. That's what it's looked like for me. Even this week, in light of this, on Tuesday, it's day off. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to have good Devo time, and I'm going to write a song. I wrote this song, and I sent it to Jake. I'm like, huh? What do you think? And it's not my gift. It's just not, right? It's pretty bad. But I wouldn't have known had I not thrown it out there. And I was saying, you might have to try a few things, but you have to understand the necessity behind it. That when we as a church, not just a few staffers, not just a few key leaders, but when the body all comes together, working together, and as we just overflow with what God has given us, this body is going to be built up. And I believe that as you guys use your gifts, it's really going to be to God's glory and to your joy to be a part of that. Man, don't be content sitting on the sideline. And I don't know what would keep you there, if it's lack of understanding or if it's fear. I'm telling you, you can't mess it up. God's already won, right? Home is heaven. Jesus is coming back. Like, but it's to your joy, I genuinely believe, to be a part of that. Any of you that has done like a short-term missions trip or put yourself out there, you know that although it seemed like it was sacrificial, it seemed it was giving, it was absolutely to your joy to be a part of that. And I'm saying when Jim Weimer, I think he's got to be one of the guys that helped build this, who's a construction guy, gets an opportunity to use his gift, I think it's to his joy. And I believe really, genuinely, Kendale, it'll be to your joy and to God's glory to, as a church, be unified with each other and be on mission together in this context. We don't have it all figured out, but I would invite you to reach out to your leaders. One of the best ways, if you're asking practically, what do? I'd say get in a connection group. Have a great dialogue this week about that, and that's a great spot to start that outlet. Because just because you've been given a gift doesn't mean that you're obligated instantly to use it. You're like, I think I got a gift of teaching. I'll be up here next week. If anyone, like, subject to church leadership, all those things. But nonetheless, you probably could lead a connection group. You could probably lead out one of the evenings. If you have a gift of hospitality, you might say, hey, I'd love to host this week. Gift of serving. Again, there's going to be outlets in the the way to really begin that process is through connection groups. And so I would love to, this is nice, I get to preach, and your leaders get to help figure out how all this applies to you. But I'd say, guys, it's absolutely worth it. If we believe what God is saying here in his text, that the gifts are given to a unified body to build it up, and in doing so, our witness in putting Christ on display is absolutely going to increase and grow our body. I want to pray for us and just invite the worship team back up. Lord, thank you. God, thank you for your word. Lord, I'm genuinely thankful for guys like Jeff Stickfort, who's found a way to use his construction and his background in business to build up your body. Lord, I'm thankful for these musicians. Lord, thankful for those in kids ministry. God, just your gifts. I stand in awe of other parts of the body that I don't know and I don't comprehend and I can't even begin to understand. God, we thank you that the church isn't just people like us. Praise be to you. And Jesus, we do want to reflect you in the most full way we know how, and it's going to be unified together that we're going to be able to put you on display and build this body. So Lord, thank you for that clarity in Scripture. And God, would you bless Candeo? And I pray that you bless Anthem in that way, that people would come out of the woodwork, build up the body, and Jesus, you would receive the glory, and to us would be the joy. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This has been a message from Candeo Church. To learn more about us or to hear more messages, visit us at candeochurch.com.